You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
I just want you to know that you know that girlfriend, when she first heard that phrase that she said in her apartment, she tried to actually literally pull herself up by her own bootstraps. You know that.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I want you to listen to her explain why she doesn't think that there is a surge at the border, y'all. Check
they
it.
Want to say, what about the surge? Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. And that's a problem because these.
Okay,
this is not
this?
A surge.
I'm not going to make through this without. I got to pause it. So first off, I love the word salad. Can we just talk for a moment about the word salad? Anyone who's using this consciously as opposed to unconsciously, are they talking in their sleep? Like, what? And she's saying that it's a militaristic term. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was not going to make it through this. We can finish it. I was not going to make it through.
This is not a surge.
I won't interrupt again. I'm sorry.
These are children.
I can go ahead and go.
And they are not insurgents. And we are not being invaded.
Oh my gosh. Bless her heart. I'm trying to think of something nice. So we know what surge means, right? I guess we just are going to need to do just like a quick little homeschool lesson, okay? They're not the same thing. It's not like someone. It's not the same word. So surge, which is an intransitive verb, means to rise and fall actively. And in fact, if you look at every definition that is given for the term surge, it is all of it's either to toss, to swell, you know, the stock market surged. It's not a militaristic term. I'm not quite sure where she's getting this from. It's a verb that is describing basically the growth of something. Now, there are other definitions, you know, that slightly modify that. There's some variants of it. To rise suddenly to an excessive or abnormal value. If you're talking about like when you're describing rope to slip around. It's not synonymous in any way. Or even if you look at the etymology, it's not of an insurgent is a person who revolts. An insurgent is someone who is revolting against an established authority, against an established ruling party. And they're rebellious, but let me pull this up. Merriam-Webster says it's not recognized as a belligerent, but it's particularly going against government. These two words are not interchangeable, girl. Of course, she's like the Amelia Bedelia of Congress. Let's not forget when she was talking about, someone can't actually pull themselves up with their bit straps. It's not even physically possible. You know, she sat in her apartment, tried to do that. I just want you to know that, you know, that girlfriend, when she first heard that phrase that she sat in her apartment, she tried to actually literally pull herself up by her own bootstraps. You know that. Bless. So, yeah, it is a swelling of a tangible thing at the border. It is an increase. It is a swelling of the number. And I don't care how many times you finger point and you how much word salad you add to it. That when you just like add kooky words or just words to something that and try to quantify things and you think that you're sounding smart, that doesn't, it's not working. When you use this word consciously, as opposed to unconsciously, I mean, like what other way, a deluge, would you like for us to say that? For crying out loud. It is, the fact remains is that it's 6 to 7 times more than the number of people at the border under the peak previously under Obama Biden during that administration. So what in the world? Oh my gosh, heaven help us all. So just an FYI, I had to play that. There's no surge at the border, except there is though. Gosh, how awkward. I mean, there's a surge at the border. And you can either address it and do something about it. Remember, this is the person who previously said that she was down at the border crying in front of a chain link fence. And that's just when kids were in places like the Carrizo Springs facility, which has the infrastructure there, the water, the electricity, et cetera, concrete slabs. She's not saying anything about the pods. She's not saying anything about the Uncle Joe's Amazing Happy Time Fun Pod. Have you seen that? Holy hell. Come on, kids. Come visit Uncle Joe's Amazing Happy Time Fun Pod. Woo-hoo-hoo. Cross the desert with some drug cartels. Cross the Rio. Don't drown. And then Uncle Joe will welcome you into the Happy Time Fun Pod. Happy Time Fun Pod. Where you can stand shoulder to shoulder with 700 other kids. Yay! Courtesy of Uncle Joe. Come visit Uncle Joe's Amazing Happy Time Fun Pod. This sounds like almost a sequel. Hang on, I gotta look this up. Who knows? You guys know Five Nights at Freddy's? Steve, please tell me that you know this. You know that? Do you know Five Nights at Freddy's? Do you know that at all? Oh my gosh. I'm gonna look this up. I was not going to invoke this, but I'm going to now. I watched a few weeks ago. Wally's Wonderland, which is kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's. If you've never played Five Nights at Freddy's and you're nervous about scary things, don't do it. But I love scary stuff. So, it's not something I did a lot, but I played it a couple times. Five Nights at Freddy's is where you're supposed to be running this like Chuck E. Cheese kind of thing. And the animals come alive at night and they like, because they're possessed and they're going to try to kill you. And the lights go off and on and off and on. And you have to like watch and it's just crazy. So I'm going to bring this tugboat to shore. So Wally's Wonderland is a horror film that Nick Cage is in, Nicolas Cage. He doesn't speak in the film at all. And it's actually amazing and hysterical. When I saw it, I was like, this is going to be one of the worst things ever. There's not enough milk duds that we don't have enough milk duds to get me through this. And it actually was pretty, pretty hysterical. But this sounds like Uncle Joe's Amazing Happy Time Fun Pod. Sounds like it could be sort of like a sequel to Wally's Wonderland with Nick Cage. Like Nicolas Cage decided he was going to be a border agent and he goes and he sees these horrible policies from the administration. It's Uncle Joe's Happy Time Fun Pod where all the kids come and they crowd into a pod like a bunch of animals at the animal claw machine and they sit there until the administration decides to... I mean, it's just a disaster. How are you going to sit here and say... Have you seen the way the kids are packed in these pods? Is there an official name for those damn claw machines where all the toys are thrown in and you like put a quarter in, you got to operate the claw to pick up a toy? You guys know what I'm talking? It's what they look like. That's what the pods look like. When they don't look like baked potatoes, that's what they look like. You got 7 times the amount of kids it's supposed to be in there. And they finally opened it up to reporters. And I can see why they didn't want reporters going in there because... Damn, Sam, have you seen the video and photos coming? There are media members who did not leave the same. They were changed. And you could tell by their tweets. At first, they were like, we're going to go in and look at all this stuff. And then afterwards, they have all these photos and video. And they're like, this is bad. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next. But with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and her freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So we've been talking about the tax stuff. We've been talking about some of the other things that the Biden administration is allowing to lapse. So this from the Washington Times, he's canceling another $1.3 billion in student loan debt. And it's going to cost all of us $1.3 billion. So when they talk about the agency forgiving loans, that's you being forced to co-sign someone else's loan without your permission. Isn't that something? And it's legal because the government wants to do it. So the Biden administration said that they are letting tens of thousands of people with disabilities off the hook for student loans at a cost to taxpayers $1.3 billion. They're trying to get rid of $1.7 trillion in student debt. Now, remember, the same government that decided to nationalize student loans, which contributed to the egregious pricing and this debt in the first place, now they're making all of us pay the penalty for it. Isn't that something? Why do they not make giant foam middle fingers? Like, someone answer this for me, because I would be your, I would all that you would, I'd be the only thing that you would need for business. I'd purchase that much of them. A pet food recall, dog and cat owners. Alert. Evansville, Indiana-based Midwestern Pet Foods has issued a voluntary recall of dozens of dog and cat foods, which they think could be contaminated with salmonella. The company announced this on March 26, according to an FDA alert. While no human or pet illnesses, I would hope no human illnesses, have been reported to date regarding the recalled products, they were distributed to stores and online retailers nationwide. Pet Foods is requesting that all potential product buyers check the lot code information on the back of the bags as a precaution. And so it includes Earthborn Holistic Wild Sea Catch, Propack Performance Puppy, and Sport Mix Original Cat. I love the letters, the names. They said that product codes that have that begin with the letter M, those are the ones that are apparently sus. There is in Marin County, in Oakland, there is a basic income program. It's like a pilot program that's going around in San Francisco. This is like where they are paying artists. They're paying certain artists if they are essential artists, apparently. They're going to be paying, and this kind of goes along with it, because they're doing all of these weird little programs all around San Francisco. And there's, like, for instance, they have the Oakland Resilient Families Partnership. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf announced that. There's two A's there, and I wanted to make sure I got both of them. And it provides 600 families with $500 for 18 months. And it was modeled off of one in Stockton. And it's eligible. Families are eligible if they have one child under 18. They make no more than 50% of the area's median income. And as long as they are not evil white people. What? Oh, you want me to read the... they are eligible if they have one child under 18, if they're making no more than 50% of the area's median income, and that's about $59,000 for a family of three, and who are not evil white people. Mm-hmm. Or EWP is what we're calling them now. Wink emoji. So the Resilient Families Partnership, which is endorsed and promoted by Schaaf and the city government, is funded entirely by philanthropic donations, and it will be run by a coalition of community groups, because I'm sure none of them are going to get into a fight at the end of this. That's never happened. And a recent study of Stockton's, they said that they reported their mental well-being rose, according to NPR. So San Francisco's like, that sounds amazing. We also hate EWPs, evil white people. So we are going to incorporate something similar. We're going to incorporate something similar. I'm just going to say that the program that they're launching, that's launching in Marin County, which is nearby, San Francisco Chronicle says that is $1,000 to 125 low-wage women who are not evil white women that have at least one child over the next 2 years. That is administered by the Marin Community Foundation. And San Francisco was like, we want to be also involved in this. This sounds amazing. So they're trying to include this as well. Is that even legal? I mean, I guess it depends on, do you have taxpayer dollars? I mean, if it's a private thing and it's private dollars, I mean, people can do whatever they want with their money, right? You could start a foundation that says, you know, I'm sorry, but this only goes to families where the dad has four fingers. You could do, you could make it totally arbitrary like that, right? You totally could. You could say, I am only going to give this stipend to major ABBA fans. I'm just saying, that's, you know, but if government money or a government grant or anything federal government or really state government is involved, then the law changes on this. Now, relatedly, San Francisco is going to pay $1,000 a month to essential artists, 130 of them, who were hit really hard by the pandemic. London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco, said they're going to provide monthly 1,000 payments to 130 eligible artists. It's a cash relief program. And I really want to see the art. They said it's one of their new pilot programs. You have to be income qualifying for 6 months beginning in May. So if you're an artist who lives alone and you make $60,000 or less, then you're eligible, et cetera, et cetera. And they said that they are looking, they're basically, you can't be an evil white person artist. They said that London Breed says that we are centering our outreach strategy, ensuring we reach those hardest hit, including our BIPOC, people of color, immigrant, disabled, and LGBTQ+ artist communities. And they're working with the Yerba Buena Center for Arts. And so they say that, so an artist, in case you guys don't know, they say for this program, an artist is someone who actively engages with the community through music, dance, creative writing, visual art, performance art, installation, photography, theater, or film. That's their press release. And they want artists, particularly not evil white people artists, to apply. And they said that this is going to help San Francisco recover. So that could include, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, if you're an artist in San Francisco and you sculpt using the feces left by people on the sidewalk, that would probably, I wouldn't imagine you'd make a lot of money. Or maybe people who rearrange the needles left on the ground in nice patterns, that could probably be, you know, needle art. That's like, it's performative and also it's an installation. So there's like two things checked off right there. You know what I mean? And you're repurposing waste. Just saying. Out of all the things to do. So they're taking money from a general fund and they're using bias in the application. Where are they getting the money? And why would they not just like give it to, I don't know, the homeless or something? I don't know. Because money comes from magic. What I do is if I place my crystals in a circle and I put some oils on them, then money appears. That's how it works, isn't it? If I just wish on the crystal, then it appears. Dollars come. They immediately manifest out of the ether. Can you imagine living in an area? I'm so sorry if you do move. If you live in an area where they operate like that, I don't know.
Why do the Democrats want open borders even though it damages national security and the people who are crossing the southern border are brutalized by the drug cartels? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, we discuss this and how Dr. Fauci continues to move the COVID goalposts with North Carolina Congressman and Dr. Greg Murphy. We'll also highlight the huge threat to your personal liberty through vaccine passports and how our children are now in the COVID police crosshairs. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ooh, my goodness. All right, so... let's do this one. A Florida man sets a Guinness World Record by seeing the Avengers 191 times. It's a super fan, Ramiro Alanis, a Florida-based personal trainer. And they actually give you certificates. And he goes, I'm now legally amazing. He tweeted a picture of it. It was the most cinema productions attended, same film. He saw Avengers Endgame 191 times in 94 days after the film premiered in 2019. He's 32 years old. I don't know how many hours that is, but that's insane. And I don't know what you can do with that, but he got it and he's very excited about it. He's clearly a super 100. I don't love any movie enough to see it 121 times in. I don't. A Florida man busted into a home in his boxers and battered the owner. This Dimitri Allen violently broke into a home in Florida. He broke in the front door, assaulted one of the owners, all while wearing boxers. He did get arrested. He was charged with a bunch of things, including vandalism and battery.
Whew. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.